Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire. This is episode 245, The Massacre at Matanzas. We previously talked about the French settlement at Fort Caroline, and of course we've done an episode on Fort Matanzas itself. But we haven't really talked about the massacre, which gave the Matanzas River and eventually Fort Matanzas its name, in the context of that, right? We've talked about Fort Caroline. We've talked about the founding of St. Augustine. But now let's talk a little bit about the massacre, which took place in 1565. Now, the Protestant Reformation was the event that shook Europe the most since the fall of Rome. Whatever date you want to put on that, the fall of the Western Roman Empire, whether you want to put the traditional date that's used in anglicized cultures at 476 AD. I don't like that date personally. I think there were still Roman institutions in the West. I think the actual fall of Roman power in the West probably gradually happened over time. There were rump states associated with the Western Roman Empire, including one in Gaul was not conquered by the Franks till 486. There was a Dalmatian kingdom, which Julius Nepos, who was actually the legitimate Western Roman emperor, ruled until his assassination in 480. So I don't like that date, 476. But let's say it's sometime in the late 5th century, early 6th century, maybe even during the Gothic Wars between the Eastern Roman Empire and the Goths on the Italian peninsula in the period between the 530s and the 550s. Maybe it's in that period. But any event, for 1,000 years, there are lots of things that happened in Europe, including the Crusades, including the bubonic plague. But the biggest event is the Protestant Reformation, or the Reformation. And in the late 16th century, France was racked by this sort of religious strife. France is a country that we think of as traditionally Catholic, but there was a large contingent of Protestants, the Huguenots, that were creating problems for the French crown and for the Catholic Church, which was connected to the French crown. In fact, I don't want to get too deep into European history, but this is kind of important to know. The papacy was so connected to the French crown that at one point the French popes were named the French kings were naming the popes, and the pope was in Avignon, which was papal land, but is, you know, obviously now in France, but was closer to the capital of the French kingdom, which was Paris. So, in the hope of uniting the French nation, they sent Huguenot leaders, led by Jean Ribaut. Ribaut is somebody we've talked about before, and very famous in the history of Jacksonville and the areas along the St. John's River, near the mouth of the St. John's River. Sent Ribaut to the New World to establish a colony in the name of the French kingdom, in the name of the King of France. Now, it's important at this point to note that this colony, as we talked about in the Fort Caroline episode, had all sorts of problems. But it was functioning and operating. The Spanish had claimed Florida in 1513 and had had various expeditions, some of which we've talked about, Hernando de Soto, Tristan de Luna, and others, that had explored the peninsula. Ponce de Leon himself came back and was killed in 1521 on the Florida Peninsula. Now, there are other Spanish operations and missions we haven't talked about that we probably should get to at some point and talk about at some point in the future on this podcast. King Philip II of Spain decided they needed to remove the French threat, right? Florida, after all, was Spanish territory. And in addition, there were heretics from their perspective. Spain being staunchly Catholic. In fact, the Spanish Inquisition is going on at this time. It is kind of wrapped up, but not totally. Remember, it wasn't just Jews and Muslims who were targeted by the Spanish Inquisition. It was Protestants all over Europe, which led to a series of religious wars where the Spanish crown and Philip II also had the crown of the, or his brother at this point had the crown of the Holy Roman Empire. His father, Charles I, had been Charles I of Spain and Charles V of the Holy Roman Empire. They were fighting heretics throughout the German lands, and then there would be effectively 80 years of war between the Dutch and the Spanish, which was largely based on religion. So they're fighting wars against so-called heretics in Europe at this time, in addition to the Inquisition. And they want to clear Florida of these heretics, clear La Florida of these heretics. So Pedro Menendez, founder of St. Augustine later, is sent to rid Florida of the French and Protestant Huguenot menace. En route, they encountered a fierce storm. Only two of the 17 ships that left Cadiz in España, in Spain, arrived safely in Puerto Rico. Only two of the 17. Menendez was able to obtain three more small ships and headed north towards Fort Caroline. On August 28, 1565, Menendez sighted Cape Canaveral. This was the same day Ribault reinforced Fort Caroline with five ships. Menendez turned north and followed the Florida coast looking for the French. On September 5th, his small fleet arrived at the St. John's River, the mouth. Although the Spanish were outnumbered, words were exchanged and a few shots were fired. This was right at Fort Caroline, which is at the mouth of the St. John's River. Menendez then sailed south to a small inlet he had noticed on the voyage north, a place where he could find refuge and make plans to comply with the king's order to burn and hang the Lutheran French. That was a quote. Now, the Lutherans, of course, there were Huguenots. We call them Huguenots, but they were all Lutherans in the eyes of the Catholic Spanish crown. Obviously, Martin Luther being the leading heretic, and everybody derived from Martin Luther in the Protestant Reformation. On September 8th, Menendez entered this inlet and founded a town near the site of a Tumukian Indian village. He named his settlement San Augustine, St. Augustine. And that's, of course, named for the saint honored in the church calendar. On August 28th, the day he had sighted Florida, and of course he had sighted Cape Canaveral, is what he had sighted. Cape juts out, if you're familiar with the geography of Florida. As the Spanish began building San Augustine, the French plotted an attack. Ribault reasoned that it was best to take the initiative while he enjoyed numerical superiority. So with 500 men and five ships, he left Fort Caroline on September 11th against the advice of his other colonists. Laudemer, who we talked about in the Fort Caroline episode, was there and said, hey, don't go out in September. There are hurricanes, or whatever they called them at the time. But I think we all, any of us who live in Florida, know September is the month you don't mess around near the water. But Ribault went. Just as they were about to attack San Augustine, they were hit by a hurricane or a tropical system. that sent them south and took them right along the coast where they beached, taking advantage of this confusion because of the weather. Menendez marched his men north to Fort Caroline, which is now lacking in manpower, and captured it. And they killed 130 French settlers, the ones who had not accompanied Ribaut. The fort was now under Spanish control. They renamed it Fort San Mateo. Hence the San Mateo section of Jacksonville. The women and children were sent by ship to Puerto Rico. They weren't killed. It was just the men that were killed. Launemere and Lemoyne, who's given us some of the first images, drawings of Florida, they were saved and they were transported to Spain. Not saved, they were spared. Their lives were spared. Meanwhile, the French ships, as I mentioned, had been shipwrecked somewhere near Ormond Beach, maybe. And then some others a little further south, like Cape Canaveral, maybe Mims, that area. What is now Mims, right? None of these places existed then, obviously. The survivors started north on foot, hoping to make it back to Fort Caroline, which they don't know has been captured. They were stopped at this inlet south of San Augustine, which, of course, we now call Fort Matanzas, and here's why. Menendez led about 70 soldiers to the inlet and convinced the French that their only hope was to allow themselves to be taken prisoner. He never promised to spare their lives. Menendez said he would do to them whatever God directed him to do. Famished and exhausted, because this has been quite a trek for them, especially from Ormond Beach up to Matanzas. I mean, you can do the walk even now. I wouldn't advise it, but you could do it. For the ones coming from the Cape Canaveral area, forget it. They must have been in that heat. And my goodness. No fresh water. Just think about it. So they surrendered. The Spanish ferried them across the inlet and led them to the dunes where they were killed. 111 of them were killed. 16 who agreed to convert to Catholicism or were already Catholics were spared. Menendez told them he wasn't killing them because they were French. He was killing them because they were Lutherans. They were Protestants. So, once again, some more men came. Because there were two different groups. And in fact, I think the ones who came from like Daytona, Ormond area probably got there first. But they were exhausted. You can imagine the ones from Cape Canaveral were even more exhausted. Those French, led by Jean Ribaut himself, the commander, arrived on October 11th. They tried to flee south. They did not surrender. The next morning, those who remained were ferried across the inlet and suffered the same fate. 134 were killed. 16 were spared. Matanzas had its name, which was because of the blood that flowed supposedly in the inlet, in the river, the Matanzas River. Spanish word for slaughter. So you had all these deaths. There were a few French that escaped, as I mentioned. Some of them were located and shipped to Havana as prisoners. Others may have lived with the Indians, for all we know. But that's how Matanzas Inlet got its name, how Matanzas Pass got its name, how the Matanzas River got its name, and how Fort Matanzas got its name. And it was the Matanzas Massacre, and it was the decisive event in making Florida Spanish for the next 200 years and not French. And of course, the British would take Florida in 1763 after having failed to take it in 1702 and 1739, and again in 1740, and again in 1742. 1704, 1707, right? All these English and British invasions of Florida that failed, they get it by treaty in 1763 without firing a shot on, without invading Florida. So thank you for listening. This is the end of this season of the Florida History Podcast. We are going to be back, I believe, in 2 weeks with a new season. Robert will be back with us. He's back with us. He's had a lot going on in his life, so he hasn't been with us these last 6 months or so. But he'll be back with us, and we're going to have an exciting new topic area we're going to try and pursue with the Florida History Podcast. So thank you once again for listening. We're not abandoning the colonial stuff and the stuff about military conflicts in the state. We're just doing a little diversion to a little more modern history for the next month or two. And then we're going to come back to some of these other topics. And that includes certainly talking about some of the other Spanish exploration of Florida or La Florida between 1513 and 1565. So anyway, thank you once again for listening. We'll be back with you, not next week. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.